I switched on the radio a couple of weeks ago, right in the middle of the first movement of the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. Oh, Heifetz, I said to myself, and proceeded to listen, heart pounding, to the performance, which was on the air to honor Yasha Heifetz, the great violinist who was born 100 years ago this month. This is not to say I'm so smart. Identifying Heifetz's playing, once you've listened to enough of it, is not so very difficult, as violinists of all persuasions, countries, and generations seem to agree.
Heifetz is by far the most distinctive sound. His sound is most recognizable.
Violinist Joshua Bell's recording, Gershwin Fantasy, features the Heifetz arrangements of the Gershwin Preludes.
For one thing, he tends to play very fast. It does get your hairs standing up on end, but it's always Heifetz. You can always tell that it's him.
The most important is the personality.
Vladimir Spivakov is on tour with the Moscow Virtuosi.
And Yasha Heifetz first is great personality. And everything we have to look through this aspect.
His technique, there is no need talking about it.
Christian Tetzloff was in Frankfurt when I talked to him.
This kind of crispness and clearness is something every violinist should aim for.
Your jaw just drops.
Sarah Chang and I talked on a noisy phone line from Munich, where she was on the first leg of a European tour.
Everything that he did, he brought this freshness to and this amazing simplicity.
I did grow up, like everybody else, with Yasha Heifetz and always being in my inner ear.
Robert McDuffie, here in New York, just secured his dream violin by assembling a group of investors to purchase it for him.
He truly did bring violin playing up to a level that people are still trying to reach.
This electricity in the sound.
Violinist Lila Josefowitz is coming to New York in June.
To have that unique stamp that you can tell who it is right away, no question about it. Heifetz was that, whether you liked it or not.
But what was it exactly?
I could analyze it for you, but I really don't want to.
Itzhak Perlman. His recital this Sunday is a tribute to Heifetz.
You could say that he does it with colors. His slides are totally individual. That's only Heifetz does that. But the only word that keeps coming back to me is command, a command of the music and a command of the instrument.
And they all have their favorite Heifetz moments.
The Brahms Double Concerto with Feuermann really fascinated me in the perfectly matching playing of Heifetz and Feuermann, where you really wouldn't know who's starting and who's ending the phrase.
I think Glazunov Concerto. I think a piece like that really suited Heifetz.
The first time I came across Heifetz was at music camp when I was about 11, and the recording that somebody gave me at the time was the Vinyavsky Concerto No. 2. I think that's the first time I ever really got real goosebumps from music.
There is a Spohr Concerto No. 8 that he does that I just go nuts whenever I hear. He made it into some sort of an epic.
And they all, for some reason, without prompting, mentioned the Heifetz recording of a famous piece by Max Bruch.
If you can hear just first phrase of Scottish Fantasy by Bruch, you understand much more about musical line than if you will read 500 pages. He's like sculptor, you know, who take piece of stone and just with one long movement you have image.
What's interesting about Heifetz, though, is that 100 years after his birth, nearly 15 years after his death, he's still enormously controversial for that very strength of personality and a certain iciness of character that was his hallmark. And when violinists talk about Heifetz, they can't avoid issues of ego and mission.
I think that good interpretation that draws the audience doesn't have to be focused on the player, but can also be just focused on the music they play.
So much of Heifetz was in everything that he did. All of us, you know, when we play the great masters, you know, part of it is what we do for the music, and the other part is what we give to the music from our own personality. The fingerprint, you know, with Heifetz, that was his individuality, was a larger portion of what he did.
As a violinist, I'm in awe. As a musician, I'm sad, because he obviously did not feel that he was a messenger of great music. He was a messenger for Jascha Heifetz.
I think the personality is the number one thing, because in that case, then we should just have one recording, and everyone should just listen to that recording, or we should have one performer who has the performance. But the difference is that we're all human, we have different qualities, and we have to bring that out in our performances. I mean, that's almost the point of being a musician and a player and a performer, that to let the personality come out and shine in its own way.
And so it goes. The raging dispute about the role of the interpreter, still spurred by the name Jascha Heifetz. But at least one violinist, Vladimir Spivakov, hears something incredibly revealing in his playing, something that seems to reconcile everything.
You know, the sound of violinist is sound of his soul. What he has inside of him, which sound he has, he produced. He was totally different person that he wants to show outside. That his music tell us different. He can suffer, and he can express what he wants, all human feeling.
And about Heifetz's violin playing, there is no dispute.
For me, it's quite something to always look up to what he did. You know, so you say, well, this violin is good, this is wonderful, and then there's Heifetz.
For me, as somebody who just hit 20, you know, to think that it is possible to sound that beautiful, I think Heifetz, he owned that sound. It was his style. And I think all of us of the newer generation, we can benefit from listening and respecting it and hopefully create our own sound and style and you know, move audiences with that. Well, I think that's really what being a musician is all about.
For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.